Please note that the views expressed in this podcast are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect those of ERA. ERA does have a refrigeration special technical group with resources and information on both natural and synthetic options. For more information, visit era.org.au. Hello and welcome back to ERA On Air, the podcast of the Australian Institute of Refrigeration, Air Conditioning, and Heating. This is a special side episode of ERA On Air because this time around, we're stopping in at ERA's Refrigeration 2019 conference and talking to Michael Kaufeld, one of the leading voices in the field of natural refrigeration. Michael Kaufeld is a professor at the Karlsruhe University of Applied Sciences and was a keynote speaker at ERA's Refrigeration conference. So here's Professor Kaufeld on his area of expertise and the state of the field in 2019.
Yeah, my name is Michael Kaufeld.
So what was it you wanted people to really take away from your talk today? What were some of the main points?
Well, the main point is there are alternatives to CFCs, HCFCs, and HFOs. And those alternatives have been around for over 100 years. It's ammonia, it's carbon dioxide, it's propane, it's isobutane, and even water as a refrigerant. All the natural fluids, they don't have any impact on the environment. They can be used safely. People don't need artificial refrigerants. When we talk about using natural refrigerants, whether it be ammonia, hydrocarbons or water, we think about the global safety, like ozone depletion, global warming or climate change. People using CFCs, HFCs and even HFOs, they say, okay, that's the global safety, but we are concerned about the local safety, and the local safety, of course, is a poisonous refrigerant or a flammable refrigerant. But when talking about HFOs, they are flammable as well. So you're on the same level as the hydrocarbons, except that the hydrocarbons have been around for millions of years in nature. So there's no unknown consequences, unlike HFOs, which crack up in the atmosphere and then form trifluoridic acid, TFA, and they do that the factor of 4 to 5 times more efficient than 134a. So we get 4 or 5 times more TFA than what we used to get with 134a. Because all car air conditioners, at least in Europe, they have to run on a refrigerant with a GWP, a global warming potential, below 150. So car manufacturers nowadays use HFO 1234YF, and that forms TFA. And if you have an area like Stuttgart, where you have a valley, 1 million of people living there, and you have about 2 million cars, and then you have maybe 5%, maybe even 10% leakage rate from every car. Every car contains 450 gram. So to make it the calculation easy, it's 10%, so it's 45 gram. So multiplied by 2 million. So that's quite an amount you get every year. And there are many days without any wind. And then this TFA will rain down and deposit in terminal water bodies around Stuttgart and will probably pollute the groundwater. And to my knowledge, there's no possibility to remove TFA from drinking water.
Have there been any linkages between TFA and health outcomes?
What I have investigated is the immediate health issue when talking about the refrigeration fitters' health. And there are safety concerns. Not with all HFOs, because it depends very much on the kind of molecule, on the molecular structure. But I know that because earlier you had medical inhalers, they worked on CFC-12, then they changed to HFC-134a. Both of them are very stable. That's why we have the problem with the ozone depletion and with global warming, because they stay so long in the atmosphere. And now when you change to HFO, they break down in the atmosphere within 1 to 3 days. So no problem with global warming, but maybe with TFA. But they may also break down in the human body. When we had a project for the German EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, about 13 years ago, I found a nice investigation by a chemical manufacturer from Mexico, where they tried new medical inhalers, which industry nowadays calls HFO, and they tried those on rabbits. And there's a nice paragraph in this report saying that after 1 week of inhaling HFO at a very high dose, much higher than what normal people would inhale. But after 1 week, all the rabbits were still alive. But after 2 weeks, half of the rabbits were dead. And I know that people, especially in Scandinavia, are looking for incidents where you have health issues with HFOs. Because, I mean, just use your imagination. It's a molecule which is very unstable and it breaks down in the atmosphere quickly. It may not be stable enough to stay in your body for a long time without doing funny things. I don't want to work with it, and I don't recommend my students working with it. I have been working with natural refrigerants ever since 1986. If you decide going natural refrigerants, you will not get a problem with global warming. You will not get a problem with polluting anything. Of course, you have the challenge of local safety. You have to deal with flammability. If you go hydrocarbons, you have to deal with poisonous refrigerant. You go ammonia. You have to deal with low pressure in your system when you go water. And you have to deal with high pressure when you go carbon dioxide. But it's all challenges which can be dealt with by mechanical engineers.
Because it's something we've been using for over 100 years and we're kind of rediscovering that, you know, these natural refrigerants haven't gone anywhere. We've just gone out in pursuit of new things, thinking they'll be more efficient, but not realizing until later that there are massive downside risks with CFCs, with the ozone hole, now with global warming potential of these refrigerants. Rather than it being the same old stuff we're using 100 years ago, is there new kind of exciting things happening in the natural refrigerant space? I know one of the things you're working on is ice, sort of like a slurry mix, and using air as refrigerant itself. And you say there are some technical limitations to overcome, but is it quite an exciting field to be working in?
Yeah, that's exactly the case. We have been using those fluids in refrigeration systems extensively until like the 1920s, 1930s, but then we changed to using synthetic fluids. So all the knowledge has disappeared. You can buy old books, refrigeration books, and they tell you exactly what to do. Many people in the industry have forgotten how to do it, so we have to reinvent things.
That's incredible. So you could, if you picked up a book from the industry from the 1920s, compare that to a book from the 1960s or 70s, all that knowledge of natural refrigerants would not be there because the whole industry had moved on to synthetics and in pursuit of the latest and greatest.
In the books from the 1920s, it tells you how you can add an odorant, something which smells, to hydrocarbon refrigerants in order to make it more safe. If there's a leak, you can smell it. They used a natural oil, it's camphor oil, and they had mineral oil as lubricant, mm-hmm. and they didn't mix. So whenever there was a leak, they could smell it. Those are things which we have to like reinvent. Yeah? Go back, read the old books. I have a friend of mine, he's working for a big Scandinavian refrigeration company. He buys old books on the internet to just study how things used to be in the 1920s, in the 1930s, because there are a lot of ideas which you can reuse. But nowadays, of course, we have much better technology. Yeah? For example, CO2 was a challenge to apply in the 1920s because the material strength was not there.
Where would you say we're at in kind of rediscovering that knowledge and applying it again now? Are we kind of caught up with that level of knowledge and now we're actually developing it?
Yeah, parts of the industry are. If you take the hydrocarbons, when you go back to 2016, we have every second year we have a major refrigeration exhibition in Germany, in Nuremberg. Chillwinter, that's what it's called. Chillwinter 2016, there were maybe 10, 15 companies displaying refrigeration systems working on propane. If you went there last year, 2018, I was there with about 30 students of mine. I would say every second company had a solution with propane. The year before, we had been for the United Nations Environment Program, UNEP, ARTOC meeting, that's the Refrigeration Technical Options Committee. We went to Amman in Jordan, and we were invited by maybe the major manufacturer of chillers in Jordan. And I gave a presentation similar to the one I gave today here at the conference. And I told them, okay, if you want to do it right, leapfrog from the usage of HCFCs directly to natural refrigerants. Don't do the same mistake as companies in Europe, in Australia, and in the US. And you know what they had on exhibit last year at Chillventa? A propane chiller. Big propane chiller in the megawatt capacity, which they sell all over the world.
Thank you so much for that, Michael. Thank you for your time. And thank you for letting me drag you out of the cocktail party here at their refrigeration conference.
Skål.
Skål. We hope you enjoyed that. If you'd like to attend future ERA events, stay in the loop at era.org.au and follow us on your social media platform of choice. We'll have more for you soon from Refrigeration 2019 and another adaptation of the cover feature of Ecolibrium, ERA's industry journal. Have a great day and stay cool.